for a false identity using the credit card of her boyfriend's deceased mother. They took away her winnings and prosecuted her, of course. But how did they find out about the crime? Because after she had won the million, she had continued to use the fraudulent credit card. She had $1 million in hand, but she was still charging credit on a dead woman's credit card. Why would someone risk a fortune that was certain only to gamble on risky behavior? That might be the question we would ask the prodigal son if we could meet him face to face and shake him by his robes before he made his grand exit, trying to knock some sense into him. Jesus used many parables in his ministry. Parables were stories told by Jesus to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. The parable of the prodigal son is perhaps the most tender and the most humanly touching story that's ever been told. The parable is found in the book of Luke. The word prodigal means wasteful, and in this parable, we are given the description of a young man who wasted his life on riotous living. Today, we will talk about the parable of the prodigal son. The son asked his father for all of his inheritance, then left and rejected his father. He could have been safe and secure, living a good life. But he wanted to enjoy his worldly pleasures. He was only concerned with present life, and so he left. He went on his own way. Not long after the son left, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. Instead of going back to his father, the son went to go work in a farm. He was embarrassed of how he spent his money and did not want to disappoint his father. And so, he lived with the pigs and ate the pigs' food. This son was Jewish, and back then, a Jewish person was forbidden from pork. Even being around pigs would be horrifying for them. He was willing to live on this farm and eat with the pigs because he was ashamed of himself and did not know how to go back to his father. He was lost. This is a picture of the condition of every sinner. Sin may satisfy for a short while, but soon it brings one to a place of unhappiness. His friends had forsaken him now. His pleasure was over. His money was spent. His companions were gone. Sin always brings a harvest of poverty and guilt and regret. The beginning of sin is exciting. The end result is disgusting. He saw that he was not only destitute, but that he had sinned against God and his family. Luke chapter 15, verse 17 says, He came to himself. That is, he reflected on what happened since he left home. He remembered the days of his childhood when he used to play with his older brother. He remembered the old birch tree that stood in front of the house. He remembered the bedtime prayers that his mother taught him when he was a little boy. He remembered the morning when he left home. He was remembering all his good time he had. God sometimes permits hardship and famine to come into our lives in order to get us to think. The young man in the parable did not stop thinking. His thoughts brightened into a resolution. He said, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." The young man chose the right remedy. On the other hand, the father in this story gave his son his inheritance when he asked. In Jewish society, there were laws regarding how inheritances were typically divided. The oldest brother got a double share, while the other brothers got a single share. When there were two brothers, like in this parable, the older brother would get 2/3 of the estate and the younger brother would get 1/3. He's asking his father to give him 1/3 of everything he owns right now before his father is dead. His father would still have use for those possessions. How many fathers would receive that suggestion well today? How many would comply with it if one of their children asked for their possessions? Not one man. This is a truly astonishing request, and it would have been even more astonishing back in that time period. In a society that honors their parents, it would have been equivalent to saying, "Father, I cannot wait for you to die. Give me 1/3 of everything you have right now." Despite the insulting request from the younger son, the father grants it. Even after everything that has happened, when the son came home, the father ran to him, put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet, put the best robe on him. There is usually at least one major lesson per parable for each character in it. So far, we have seen worldly desires and forgiveness. Now we come to the lesson that the older brother teaches us. He didn't demand his inheritance. In fact, he stayed faithful to his father. Now he is angry. Why should his younger, wasteful, sinful brother receive such a reception by their father? The older brother is so angry that he refuses to go inside and join the party. Naturally, his father hears about it and comes to talk to him. When that happens, we discover that he's not just angry with his brother, but with his father as well. He points out that he has never disobeyed his father's commands, but that his father has never even given him a goat to party with his friends. The older brother sees this difference in treatment as an injustice toward him and is angry with his father because of it. Now, if we take a look at the actual meaning of this parable, we can see that this is an analogy for our own situations. Each of these characters in this parable represent God, us, and morals. The father in this parable represents God. We are under God's protection, and yet we are all lost. He chose to leave his father like how we leave our heavenly father. We are all concerned about our present life. We are all focused on our own worldly desires that sometimes turn us away from God. We all turn away from God as this son did. We go to the movies and fun places, but forget to go to church. We love to play games, watch TV, but do not have time to read God's word or even pray. The son eventually remembered the love of his father. He wanted to return to the father and repent for his mistakes. And so he did. He went back to his father's house to repent. When the father saw the son coming to him, the father ran to him. Now, it wasn't very common for men to be running back then. Men wore long robes, and men of age did not run. But this father ran to his son. He had already forgiven his son for his mistakes. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." God does not stay angry. Instead, he runs up the road, just as this father did, and shows us his grace again and again.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, allow your steadfast love to surround us. As a shepherd who protects his sheep, you watch over us, care for us, and lead us through the temptations of life. Please take care of those who are sick and in need of healing. I pray for everyone on the prayer list as well as our congregation as a whole. Please continue to guide us and keep us safe. We praise you and give you thanks for all of your unconditional love and protection. With all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please listen as I give the offering prayer. Forgiving God, we are grateful that you receive us as beloved children. Like the Father in Jesus' parable of the lost son, you rejoice when we repent and return to you. Thank you for not holding our sins against us. Help us to welcome each person as someone you love. Use our offerings to support ministries that encourage people as they live into the new life in Christ. We pray in his precious name. Amen. The closing hymn isn't listed in the bulletin, and it is "I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me," number 2153.